Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online. What was the unexplained entity lurking in a child's room long after the lights went out?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. We would love to hear from you. And if you want to keep our show on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them, sign up, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of the bonus content, advanced episodes, the archive, it's all there for you. Ebook, audiobook, and your support helps keep this program on the air. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on in your world? Carol?
You just cut out.
Oh.
Are you there?
I'm
because you go. I heard what's going, and that was it. And I was like, yeah. What happened?
I was giving you the cue that you had asked for of what's
the
going
last
on.
Episode, I'm like, where's my, how are you doing? And
yeah. And this, yeah, I gave it to you, I cut out this time. So
that's funny. So then this time it's like, then there's nothing. yeah. So I'm good. And I saw this meme on the group page the other day that I thought was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That says, not all ghosts are small Victorian children. We must normalize early 2000s ghosts in juicy couture sweatshirts, sweatsuits, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because you don't really think about a ghost wearing that.
You don't.
But I mean, a ghost could, right?
I would think so.
I mean, at some time, the clothing options are really going to change for ghosts.
Yeah.
Like the Victorian thing, the old-timey look, that's going to be out. And the juicy couture sweatsuits will be more the norm.
I don't think it's necessarily something that, you know, would be common as it is right now. You know, unless you're in a country that has, you know, castles and has been around for such a period of time. I think a lot of the ghost stories we hear are really, it's rare to kind of get one where it's of like Victorian era ghosts. They're more,
and we don't really hear a lot about their clothing, actually.
No.
I mean, normally we just hear like ghosts and nobody really goes into specifics on what they're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But it would be kind of funny to see one, like a ghost in like something super hip and trendy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd be distracted. I'm like, where had you been shopping?
Yeah.
You have the cutest clothes. It'd be kind of awesome in a weird way.
It would be. All the possibilities of the dead and their fashion choices. You know?
There's got to be some really super fashionable ghosts. You know, when you think about people who have died,
mm-hmm.
you know, like famous fashion designers,
yeah.
like those people. They've got to be wearing some cool ass shit.
Yeah, you'd think so. You'd think.
Right?
Oh.
Anyways.
Let's jump into our first story. Our phone number, 855-853-4802. It says, hi. I wrote earlier this month about me seeing a little ghost boy dressed in 1920s clothing and him not doing anything to my fiance to show that he's around. I wanted to write to tell you about something that happened to me in the fourth grade. Remember this experience very well because I was still recovering from mono. I was lying in my bed one night trying to get comfortable. I was facing the wall at the time, and I remember someone walking into my room and sitting down on my bed, thinking it was my mom at the time because she would come to check on me since I had been really sticking a week before that. I rolled over to look at her when I noticed it was not my mom. It was a woman I had never seen before. She had brown hair that might have been shoulder length if it was straight, but it looked like it had been styled in curls. She was very pretty and looked a little familiar, not in the way that I had seen her before, but in the way she resembled someone I knew. I know I should have been freaked out, but I had an odd sense of calmness come over me. I rolled over and went to sleep. Got up the next day and went and told my parents about it. My mom believed me, but my dad did not. He never believed what he could not see. I never talked about it with my dad, but my mother and I would talk about it. Fast forward several years, I was a junior in high school, and my mother and I were staying with my grandma on my dad's side because she became sick and needed help around the house. We're going through pictures that she had, came across this headshot picture of a lady I had seen in my room when I was in fourth grade. I immediately showed my mom and told her this was the lady. I went and found my grandma to ask her questions about the lady. My grandma said that the lady in the picture was my dad's real mom, and she had died when my dad was five. I did not know my father was adopted until that day when we found the picture. The lady I grew up calling Granny was my dad's aunt. They had adopted my dad after his mom passed away. My mom called my dad, who was at my uncle's at the time and lived next door to my granny. We walked over there to tell him what we found, and while we were telling him about it, my uncle told us about my dad's mom appearing at the foot of his bed around the same time. He remembered the date because his twin granddaughters, who are the same age as me, were over because something big was going on with the family, but not my story to share. I thought this was super weird, but also validated what I had seen. Thank you so much for reading my story. I'll be writing more stories about my little ghost boy that lives with us now very soon. That's interesting, where multiple people are seeing this person, and it seems they're making the rounds.
Well, and I thought it was interesting that we're talking about ghosts and their clothing, and then we're like, you know, we don't always hear about their clothing. The first one is like, describes the clothing,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of funny. But yeah, like, I think that whole thing was rather interesting with the... you know, the dad and finding out a whole nother story. And
I mean, overall, I mean, just very bizarre how that all kind of worked together. Thanks for sharing the story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller at 855-853-4802 and hear your ghost story.
Hi. So it's rather late. I'm up doing overtime. My name's Lisa. I'm calling in to tell, you know, I guess it's a couple of stories, but they're sort of connected. So I'll just get right into it. It was late November of 1998. I'm 8 years old, living in Maryland at the time. My grandmother had come over to see us from Germany. I hadn't seen her in over 2 years since we had come to the States. And it was really awesome, you know, that we got to see her. It was really awesome. She went back home after her birthday in January. It was January 1st in New Year's. It was her birthday. I'm very sorry. I'm really all over the place with this. So she went home and she had to have surgery. There was thyroid cancer, and so she had surgery. There were complications. She ended up with a trach. There were complications with the trach, and unfortunately she did pass away. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was February 17th, 99, when she died. that very same night. So just kind of want to preface this with, we never had the money to go actually see her one last time. We couldn't be there for, you know, to see the body. We weren't able to attend the funeral, nothing. So there was really no closure for the brain, if you know what I mean. And so some people might want to argue that everything that occurred possibly was a trauma response. But I'm sorry, it really didn't fucking feel like it, okay? It scared the shit out of me. That very same night, I had gotten up in the middle of the night because I had to go pee, I had to go to the bathroom. And so if you picture the hall upstairs, you know, when you come to the top of the stairs, you know, directly ahead of you is the bathroom. And then down the hall on either side of the bathroom were bedrooms. One was just my mom and dad's master bedroom, and the other side was my bedroom and my sister Sarah's bedroom at the time. And you know, we go to the restroom, we don't close the door, we're kids, you know. So I'm sitting there, you know, just doing my business, and I'm rubbing my eyes because I'm tired, you know, my eyes are itchy, whatever. And I look up, and I'm looking into the hallway, into the direction that it goes to my parents' bedroom, and I see my grandmother standing in the hallway. And it was almost as if she smiled at me. She was wearing one of her nightgowns. She wears these like little floral, like they've got little floral pattern on it, but they're like these long sleeved long nightgowns. And she's got like this, she's sort of transparent and a little like this like yellowish tone to her, like almost like she was glowing. It was very strange. I remember being frozen. I could not think of anything. I could not hear anything. I could not speak. I could not move. I couldn't do anything. I was frozen. And then I blinked suddenly, and she was gone. And it was like, all of a sudden, you know, I can hear again, yada, yada. But I am scared to death. Oh my goodness. And so when I tell you that, like from that age on till about 16 years old, I was so scared that I would sleep with every light on in my room every night without fail, because that's how terrified I was. I really couldn't handle it. And then I'm not sure how long after, I was outside with my sister. We were waiting for the school bus, I believe. No, I think we had just come home from school, actually. Yeah, we had just come home from school. We were just dropped off by the bus. We were walking home. And as we're making it to the front of our house and we're waiting to be let in, I'm looking, you know, watching, you know, my neighbors and, you know, the cars and stuff that are parked across, you know, in front of the curb. My neighbor comes out of their house. She gets in her car. And in the back of the car is my grandmother. My grandmother is sitting in the back of the car, like she's just along for the ride. She was in the car before the neighbor got in. The neighbor got in the car, and it was like the neighbor didn't even notice anything. And then she drove off. And that was the last time I ever saw my grandmother. Now... That wasn't the only stuff that really happened. My mom, you know, understandably was going through so much. You know, the loss of her mother, it was pretty bad. Her grief never really got much better. I feel like her life was forever horribly changed by losing her mom. And at the time. I don't really know why, but my mother had reached out to some psychics, you know, those like 1-900 numbers back in the 90s. And there was this one particular, like, they had made many calls, her and my dad, they had, you know, sat and did several calls. And their very last call, the lady on the phone, she was telling my mom that there was something really important she had to tell her, and it had something to do with this chair that my grandmother has, or had, rather. This chair was like my grandma's favorite chair. It was like, that was her chair, you know? And the psychic, I suppose, she was saying that, you know, I have something really important to tell you. She really, you know, she was making it sound like she shouldn't be telling her this, but she needed to. And then suddenly the line went dead before she could even say whatever it was. And my mother tried calling back, and the number's disconnected. Now, if that's not creepy enough, they never got a single bill for any of those calls. And if you know, those calls are not cheap. You know, once you use up your couple of minutes free time or whatever, it's expensive. They didn't see a single bill. It makes absolutely no sense. There have been a few things over the years that have happened that really just can't be explained by science or medical information, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, those are for, I'll call in at a later time for those things. I just think this was probably the most, you know, like, impactful thing that occurred. I wish I could see my grandmother today. I wish she would pay me a visit. It would be cool. Although I'm terrified beyond anything at the idea of actually witnessing something like that. It's a very strange limbo to be in. So anyway, I hope you guys like this story. And I will call back in at a later time with some other weird things that have occurred. Y'all have a great night.
Thank you. Bye. For sharing those experiences with us here on the show. Thoughts?
You know, I don't think that's a strange limbo to be in. I get that wanting to see someone and wanting that connection, but also it's going to scare the shit out of you if it happens.
Sure.
So, yeah, I totally get that feeling. But then, you know, if the last time she saw her grandmother was in the back of a car driving away, maybe that was kind of symbolic. Like, this is it. This mm-hmm. is goodbye. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I really wonder what's up with a chair.
Yeah.
You know, and really weird that they would have called one of those psychic hotlines, because those things are expensive. Mm-hmm. And then to have never had it shown up on your bill.
Yeah,
because I think back in the day, those would be primarily billed to your phone bill, and they were expensive.
Yeah, I remember those.
I did a story once for a local publication, and there's three of us, and we were all calling the psychic hotline to see what kind of readings we would get.
Yeah,
every one of them told me I would get pregnant. One of them told me I was pregnant, and I was like, "What?" And then come to find out, I could have never had kids. So I think that's kind of funny.
Anyway, they were a little off.
But you know, I just remember how much those cost. Like, it was seriously expensive.
Oh, yeah. There was like $4.99 a minute, $5.99 a minute. It was, yeah. It was like always, yeah. It used to be fun.
But then it's,
yeah,
like, and then about the chair, which is weird because most of those, they would pick up on something weird. Like, they kind of ask you a lot of questions, and then you kind of, you know, they can ask you questions to get information out of you that you're not really planning on sharing. So then kind of build a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how, then it'll be like, you know, you lost someone close to you. And they're like, yes, I did. Well, yeah, because you're calling a psychic hotline. There's like, usually that's what people are calling about.
Yeah.
And most people have lost somebody close to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just interesting, of all random things, they would mention a chair.
I know.
And then we're going to tell you about the chair. and that's that.
I know.
But why would the grandma set that up? Like, the chair, but you're never going to know.
Just to screw
Take
with the kids.
That.
Just like, here's one last mystery for you.
Yeah. I could see my mom doing something like that.
Sure.
You know? But I think, you know, you think of most grandmothers are nice and kind and
yeah,
not one to leave you with a lifetime of like, what the fuck? Because that would leave you with a lifetime of that.
I think there's plenty of them, though, that are all up for that. But interesting story. It really was. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, this is Eric Crawford from Ohio. I have a story. I don't know how scary it really is, but I'm just going to tell it like I remember it. I have a pretty good memory. I remember stuff from, like, inside my crib and, like, being very young and stuff like that. So I have a pretty credible memory. But we were young. I was probably about maybe 3 or 4. We lived in a bad neighborhood in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. That, believe it or not, there's some really, like, hood places there, is what I'll say. So we lived on I won't name the street, but we lived on the street, and we lived in a house that was a duplex. I mean, it wasn't really a house, but it was a duplex. So we lived on a top section, and our neighbor underneath us, her name was Rose, a very nice lady. She passed in 2012, I believe. We lived in this place, and it was me, my younger brother, who's only younger than, or like a year or so younger, my mom and my dad. This place just was foreboding as hell. Like, it was heavy, it was oppressive all the time, and although you and Carol say all the time, maybe it's just because we're kids that we notice that stuff more. We have our minds open to a little bit extra stuff. So there was a time my brother and I, we were in trouble, and our parents didn't really whoop us a whole lot until we got older and was really extra bad. But we were in trouble, I remember specifically. And this house always had problems. Like, the front door, the entrance to the duplex would always lock on us, but there was no lock on it. I know that for a fact. I remember that. It would always lock on us when we were outside playing in our fenced-in front yard there, my brother and I. We always heard noises. There was a point I remember I was in my crib, and my brother, he had just turned one, so I was two. He had just turned one. He had got this toy. It was a robot, and I mean, you guys might remember. It was probably all about, I'm 35, so we're probably all about the same age. But there's a robot, and it had like a light on its chest, a button on its back, and like you would pour I don't remember what exactly you poured into it, but if you poured it, it was made that if you pour water or something in it, it'll steam out the top of its head. It had like a little chute. That damn thing would come on all the time by itself at night, and I'm looking outside of my crib. You know, I'm waking up and I'm hearing it because it made noises. It was a toy. It made noises and shit. And that thing will always turn on, and I would scream and cry for my mom and dad, and before they got there, it would always turn on. Dead honest truth. But that's just one little thing. There was always creepy shit in that house. My mom, she always said she felt like she couldn't control her emotions and stuff there, like she was possessed or something. I don't know what was going on with that, but the big thing is we were in trouble, and we were standing in the corner. We were put in the corner. We were put in the corner by our parents, and my mom and dad, their bedroom had a master bathroom. I mean, it was a little shitty one. It was, like I said, we were pretty poor, so the place we lived in, you know, it was kind of run down. But we were in the corner, me and my brother. My mom was at work, and our dad was there with us, and we were in his room in the corner. He went to the bathroom, you know, stand your asses in the corner until I get back out of the bathroom or whatever. He goes to the bathroom. We're standing in the corner. All of a sudden, my brother and I feel like we're being pulled down into the floor. And this is we're in the second level. So this is like, it's a duplex. It's wood floors. There's no holes or anything like that. And I guess it was run down, so it could have been a structural issue. But me and my brother were being sucked into the floor. And we're screaming and crying. You know, my dad's in the bathroom, trying to use the bathroom, and he's yelling at us and shit. Y'all better stop all that before y'all get your ass, you know, stuff like that. And he finally opens the door, and he sees us, like, in the ground. So I remember, oh, shit. And he grabs me and my brother underneath our arms and pulls us out of the corner. And honestly, he held us for a few seconds, and he took us to our bedroom, and we went to bed. That was it. Like, a lot of other crazy stuff happened at this house, but I'll never forget that. My dad, I talked to him not too long ago. Me, my brother, and him, we all have, like, a group chat together, and we're talking, and I'm asking my brother, I was like, well, I'm asking my dad, I'm like, don't you even remember this happening to us? And my brother goes, he's like, oh, I remember that stuff for sure. He's like, hell yeah, we were both in the corner, and I remember all that. My dad's like, no, I don't recall any of that. So, I don't know, why is it that adults can't remember some supernatural shit, but kids are always traumatized by it? Oh no! Sorry that ran a little long, but I love what you guys are doing. I'm sorry to everything that happened to your family, but I'm glad you're moving on. Carol, you're the best. I love this show. You guys have a great day.
Thanks for sharing your experiences with us and the kind words too. Your thoughts?
That was very nice of him to say that. I think it's really there's a couple things I find fascinating. I always find it very fascinating, people who have memories when they're that young. Mm-hmm. You do. You have really young memories.
Tons.
And I don't. Like, I have nothing. I have one glimpse of a memory from when I was probably 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
It was just traumatic because my dad killed a deer.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was Bambi. That's what my mom said. You would go, Bambi! I'm like, that was traumatic for a child mother. But I also think it's really interesting that they would have that traumatic of an experience. Both of them remember it very vividly. The dad saved him, and the dad doesn't remember it.
Yeah.
You know, that seems like something that would be just stamped on you forever. Like, my children were being sucked into the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it wasn't quite the way they remember it, but still you would think that the dad would have some kind of memory since both of them remember it.
Yeah, you would.
It's interesting to me. But I also get that because my mom acts like, she'll say, well, yeah, I just had one thing happen to me in that house that we lived in as kids. And it was weird. A ball came down the stairs through one room, turned a corner, went into another room, and then went into another room. Well, she's like, well, that was kind of weird, I guess. I'm like, well, yeah. The ball started from upstairs, Mom, and made 2 turns.
That's not normal.
Actually, would have had to make 3 turns to get to where she was.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that ever happened. And then, but I know there's others. There was things like I remember very vividly something walking around the house at night, the upstairs, it walked out of the bathroom. And then my mom says, she called all of our names. We all heard it, including my mom. Like, I really remember that. My mom does not remember that.
Wow.
How could you not remember that?
I don't know.
And it was, and like my sisters, I don't know if all the kids remember it, but like my sisters, my two older sisters remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but mom doesn't. How do you not, how are you, like, are you just saying that maybe because we were all scared? And so even though you said that, then you tried to act like it didn't happen, then maybe just enough time passed that you convinced yourself it never happened?
I think people do that sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. So I don't know. He brought up a very good point, and I've thought of that myself before.
Yeah. Now, thank you for sharing that that experience with us. We do appreciate the call. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And let's do one more quick one before we wrap it up for today. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I just started listening to your show. I'm from Maryland. I won't say my name because I'm always afraid of people thinking I'm nuts. But yeah, your show's been great. I drive 35 minutes to get my daughter to school, and I have a bad back, so it actually makes me forget that. So thank you. Anyway, this story is, if you pardon my language, but it's part of what the story is me and my sister have always said there's two types of kids. There's fuck it kids, and there's go investigate kids. Now I'm going to tell you the story of why I am firmly entrenched in the category of a fuck it kid. And when I was a kid, and we just moved into this house in Maryland, and so this house was just built for us. So it's weird that there was kind of weird stuff going on. I mean, people felt uneasy in certain rooms, and it was strange. And also, as a kid in the 90s, I mean, I just got into watching, I know this sounds stupid, Casper the Friendly Ghost, and just all the certain stuff about ghosts that was out there in the 90s, you know, and... Well, anyway, I remember really, really wishing I had a ghost as a friend. I know that sounds silly, but I was a kid. What can I say? Anyway, one night I was sitting in my room, and so I was the kid that had all the animals on their bed, and all the animals started freaking out at the door. And I was looking at it, and there was three little knocks at the bottom of the door. And of course, at first, being sensible, I was like, oh, my little sister's messing with me. So I thought I'd scare her, and I went and sat next to the door. And I was sitting right next to the door, hand on the door handle, and the knocks happened again. And I opened the door really quick, and there was not a damn thing there. Anyway, so back to why I am, let's just say, for a screw-it kid, okay? I felt like I had called something. In my childish, you know, desire to have like a supernatural friend. And it felt malevolent. It felt not good. It felt like I had opened something that shouldn't have been. And that is why I am firmly entrenched. If I hear something, if I think I see something, I do not go and investigate because I believe it's not my business to. That's not for everybody. That's just for me. You know, like I said, there's two categories. You might be in the other one. But anyway, so that's my story. I love your show, and thanks for listening. Bye.
I like that. The fuck it kids or the go and investigate.
She says it twice, yeah. And the third time she's like, screw it.
Yeah, screw it, kids.
You already said it.
Yeah.
I get that, though. You know, if you'd have something traumatic happen like that, which mm-hmm. would be traumatic when you just think it's your little sister and you open the door real fast, she shouldn't be able to get away that fast. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody there and you feel something really dark. And I think I would turn it into a fuck it person too, because
yeah.
I kind of am. It's like, I'd rather you stay away. I don't need to know. Please leave me alone.
Because
I don't like that feeling.
No.
And some people go after that.
Sure.
You know, no, I'm not one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting more and more curious on the investigation things, but I think there's limits, too, where it's like, yeah, I'm good.
There's just people who can do that, and I have so much respect for the people who can.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Although, I want it, like, I like the ghost tours and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I always find those interesting. I just don't want to be the ones that are, like, I'm going to go spend the night.
Yeah.
with me and three of my friends in this haunted mansion.
That's a little different than just walking around on the tour.
Right. I'm a tour person. Yeah. I'm not a guide.
I like the tours too. Yeah.
In many areas of my life, I like being the tour person. I don't always want to be the guide person.
I'm really sad right now because one of the, I think the coolest ghost tours in the country, or so I've heard, I've never actually been on it, but we've had many stories on the show over the years of it, is currently closed. Originally it closed with COVID going on, but it's still closed because the company is, I believe they filed for bankruptcy, if I'm correct. Queen Mary out in California. You can't stay in it right now. You can't tour it right now. The whole thing is just kind of like sitting there. And they're trying to figure out like getting a new owner or operator in there of it, because the city owns it, I believe, or the something in this government entity of the city has possession of it, and they lease out the running of it to different companies. But nobody's been able to make a profit on it, or because the damn ship needs like, it's like some ridiculous like 200 some million dollars in repair to like make it viable. Not and this is not for like going out to sea. It's just for like, so it doesn't like sink in harbor. And
if the city owns it, that should be their responsibility.
I would think that, but from everything on the article I was reading, it sounds more like the operators are supposed to do it. But if they can barely like get by as it is, I think it's probably a dispute where it's like, no, you own it, you should be doing that. We just, you know, operate. I don't know, but it's a mess, and it's just kind of sitting there right now. I hope that, you know, they find some way.
That would be a shame for it not to open. And they'd have to do something with it eventually. Like, somebody's going to have to put some money into it, because they can't just let it slowly sink.
Well, I mean, I don't think it can. I don't think the water's deep enough there for it to sink.
They'd have to take it out and sink it intentionally.
Yeah, I mean, something like that. I mean, I don't even know if it's seaworthy to do that, though. I mean, to even get it out of dock, because I believe it's, you know, it's kind of sitting there on a, like, I don't know if it's technically on ground or what, but
yeah, I'm trying to remember when I saw it. It seems like it's in water.
It is in water, but it's like in its own little,
probably like not very deep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't even know.
Deep, but I don't know.
I hope that they can figure that out, because I still want to get out there and see that someday. And right now it's like, well, it's closed, but yeah. So, all right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. And EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get you hooked up with all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not-not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.